Jesus summoned the 12 and sent them out with the following instruction. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave to be like the master. But they have called the master of the house Beelzebul. How much more will they malign those of the household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not be known, become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by your Father. And even the hairs on your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And no one's foes will be a member of their own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set man against his father. Wow. How do I preach on today's gospel? I know, think about the gospel and what a sermon is for. Having thought about that, I went back to basics, and I quote, "In the Church of England, the sermon's primary purpose is to break open the Word of God, to connect the day's scripture readings to modern life, offering spiritual direction, encouragement, and a call to action before the congregation participates in communion." Then it says the key purposes of the Anglican sermon. Proclamation. It announces the good news of Jesus Christ, making the living word tangible for all listeners. Education and edification. It helps the congregation read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest scripture, providing context and meaning to biblical text. Pastoral care. It's designated to confront suffering, comfort the hurt, and encourage people to live out their faith in their local communities and daily life. And finally, preparation. In Eucharist services, the sermon prepares the congregation to actively participate in the sacrament that follows. Well, there you go. That's all I've got to do. Piece of cake. Yes. The gospel reading at first sight rather grim. It talks about a time of division and a time of conflict. And that is so, but as I've said before many times, it helps to look into the context that surround the text. Our reading is part of a larger narrative Jesus is having with the disciples. He's been going around the towns and villages, spreading the word and healing. He's now called the disciples to him and commissioned them to go out and do as he had been doing. Our text is a warning them about what they are liable to encounter as they take up the mission. He warns them that they will even be attacked for their beliefs. And of course, some would say that's still the case today. So in this context, it can help to understand our reading today. In our gospel, Jesus points to a time of unavoidable conflict between two different viewpoints. Jesus reminds the disciples that their ministry will compete with the many social structures and beliefs that contributed to life in the first century. It will compete with the economic and social structures that tolerate neglect and abuse. And again, some might well say that nothing has really changed. The world of the first century was a difficult place, especially for the poor, the marginalized. It was a difficult place for the sick, the malnourished, the outsider, those living on the very edges of society. And of course, this is the heart of the matter. In the call of the disciples, in the commission that the disciples received to proclaim the kingdom is near, we see new priorities, new values. Through the ministry of Jesus and his disciples, we see a new and genuine concern for the poorest of the poor. We see genuine care and concern for the outsider, for the widow, for the orphan, and for the refugee. I think our gospel message has some pretty far-reaching and political and social implications for us, just as a people of God living here in Beeston. In particular, we struggle with the knowledge that we don't hold a privileged position in our culture anymore. We're led to believe that the church, the Christian church, is in decline. In a way, we share more in common with the disciples of the first century. We now speak from the edge of our society, not the centre. Just as disciples were called to challenge the unjust social structure that existed, perhaps we are called to offer a similar ministry in our context today. When Jesus talks about conflict within the family, son against father, daughter against mother, he's talking about the conflict that develops when two competing viewpoints come together. How often now do we hear that parents say, "I don't understand my son, I don't understand my daughter. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that?" There is conflict all the time. And in a sense, we're being reminded today that we need to stand firm and maintain the faith when this happens. We're called to speak the truth and defend the cause of the most vulnerable, even when it's costly, even when it's not popular or welcome. Our reading today reminds us that discipleship is a journey of faith that shapes our lives. It's not a job. It's not an occupation. It's tied to who we are as Christians. Those first disciples, as they prepared to make their journey out into the world, Jesus offered some very wise advice. He reminded them that they couldn't pick and choose who was worthy. Interestingly, he also tells them three times in our reading not to be afraid. Verse 26, "So have no fear of them." Verse 28, "Do not fear those who kill the body." Verse 31, "So do not be afraid." It's into this very troubled world that the disciples are sent to proclaim the kingdom is near. We too are sent into the world very similar to that of the first century, when we consider the social and political trends that shape our world. I think this reading has much to say, but the biggest thing is, have no fear. Don't be afraid. We need to proclaim that the kingdom is near to those who need to hear this message. We are called to give consideration to the poor and the needy, and the neglected, the isolated, regardless of their nationality, religious conviction, income, or sexual orientation. We are called to stand firm, even when it will be costly. And yes, there will be divisions in our families, in our church, and in our nation. We are expected to maintain our focus on Jesus, as said in our reading. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Father in heaven. This seems very harsh, but what Jesus is saying through the whole of this reading, there are no half measures. To follow him, we have to do it in community, as the disciples did when they formed this new church. And this is why the church was so important. You make a choice to follow Jesus, to live in constant and stark opposition to everything that's acceptable around you. Well then, you'd better not be doing it alone. Nobody can live a life that's radically different from the world around them all by themselves. We've got to remember, we believe the church is called to be holy. And that means as a community, we should always be surprising people who get to know us. We should always stand out as being different. And the difference is our faith. The faith that says, Jesus is Lord. Amen.